Hello and welcome back to the American Literature Podcast. I'm your host, Noah Parker, and I'm here with my co-host, Gavin White. Gavin, how are you?
I'm doing good.
Wonderful. And we are joined today by a special guest star, Hope Carney. How are you doing?
I'm good.
So, Gavin, why don't you tell the audience what we will be speaking about today?
Well, today we're going to be talking about The Scarlet Letter and primarily talking about feminist ideas and whether or not it's a proto-feminist novel.
Yes. Now, Hope, can you define the term proto-feminism?
Oh, sure. Proto-feminist is a term used to define women in a philosophical tradition that anticipated modern feminism concepts, yet lived in a time when the term feminist was unknown, that is, prior to the 20th century. While feminism itself is the advocacy of women's rights on the basis of equality of the sexes. So proto-feminist is kind of like, you could say, an old version of feminism, kind of.
Yes, and so obviously we can see throughout the book the kind of feminist ideas are somewhat shown, whereas obviously feminism was not a term used back during those times. So you can kind of see a kind of precursor to what we now know as feminism throughout the book. Now, if you... Frick.
Cut that out.
Cut that out. Now, if Hester... Okay. Now, let's jump right into it. If Hester was a man in her specific situation, do you think that she would have been treated differently? Do you think her punishment would have been slightly different?
Well, there is an argument for both sides of this question. And obviously, one answer is like, yes, things will be completely different because women were viewed as almost objects while they're men's responsibility. Or you could say, no, it really is up to the judge, while my answer would be a variation of the two. It really does depend on who your judge is. You never know, you could get a judge that thinks that, oh, they should be treated the same, which would probably be extremely, extremely rare, but... In most cases, women, since they didn't really have the technology to deal with their feminine issues, they obviously had to stay home a lot of the time, and they were kind of a men's liability because there's housework that needs to be done at home, so they were kind of viewed more as weaker and not able to make their own decisions. So I think if Hester was a male, she would have been looked higher upon, and... she might have been held more accountable or maybe punished less.
Yeah, because in that society already, women were already kind of overruled by men due to technology.
Yeah.
As well as... cut that out. So, Gavin, what are your thoughts?
I would have to say that I believe the punishment would definitely be different because... like Hope was saying, the women were at home most of the time doing the house chores and whatnot. But, you know, other than that, it was the men kind of did everything else. So if a man was to be punished in a way like that, to be shunned and to be ignored, it would be like losing a worker. And not that the women weren't workers, but it wasn't, they weren't farming or... building houses or anything like that. But if you were to lose a worker, you'd be getting less houses built or less food or whatever.
Yeah,
so I feel like the punishment might not have been as severe.
Right, and you can see for Chillingworth, of course. Now, obviously, no one really knew because Chillingworth had been presumed dead. But obviously, if a man was to lose his wife in a manner like that and the public was to find out, in a similar fashion, I feel like the husband would be humiliated almost as equally as the wife, considering lots of people would say, hey, you're not loyal, your wife isn't loyal enough, and you can't seem to keep a woman with you, and that would probably not look very good for you, and you could definitely lose a job or something out of that, so... it's very important to kind of show how you can keep a stable family and show that you can provide for a wife in that society. So for the next question, when Hester is shown protecting other women from gender-based persecution, how exactly would you guys interpret her actions? You know, what's the morality of her actions, and could it possibly point to a larger political statement?
I believe that Hester knew what she thought was right, and she was a strong spirit. She's stubborn. I believe that she knew the society she was in was wrong, that women shouldn't be treated the way they were being treated, and she knew that as a beautiful, poor young lady, having to marry a cruel and even physically deformed man, that's just wrong, because she's a good person, and even though she's poor, she's being mistreated because she has close to no power as a woman. And I believe that Chillingworth, since he up and left pretty much, and some people even presumed he was dead, her action of idolatry may not have been just because she wanted to be sinful, or it wasn't just out of lust, but it was because she knew that she deserved so much better than a man like Chillingworth, and who knows, she might have even loved Dimmesdale to begin with, too. So I think morally, she did the best she could.
Interesting. Gavin, what are your thoughts?
Well, I think the time and the place that this all took place, they read the Bible. It was very important to read the Bible, but they never seemed to actually understand it. And even if they were to understand it, they didn't always use or do what it told them to do. And I think Hester taking care of those women was kind of, I wouldn't necessarily say defying their rules, but it was doing what the Bible was telling her to do, which was help others and help those in need. And so it was showing, you know, she was one of the few that actually paid attention to what the Bible was telling her to do and did that.
Yeah, they put really all of their laws and their religion, and they kind of put them together, you know. It was all they had was to follow was their religion, and in some ways, while that does seem like the right thing to do, it caused a lot of flaws for them, especially when you consider that their religion, they believed in a lot of strange things, things that aren't really in line with the Bible. You know, they believed in things like predestination, whereas, you know, everyone has a predestined kind of fate. You know, are they going to heaven or hell? It's kind of preset for them. And, you know, if someone is sinning, then they're going to hell, you know, and that's one of the main reasons why Dimmesdale was in such agony and torture, because he knew that he struggled with sin.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, he thought, I can't be going to heaven if I'm struggling with this much sin. And it's not like he could come clean and let the public know about this sin that he struggles with, because that would completely tarnish his image. And, you know, because he's a very admired and looked up upon minister. And for the public to learn of his sin and struggles like that would be insane for not only his career, but his entire life. Because back in that, in their society, the Puritans, they treated sin as something super, super terrible. And you know, if you were sinning, then you should leave the village, and, you know, you're an outcast. We don't want you, you know? And in reality, that's just not what the Bible says. The Bible says that we're all sinners, and that's the great thing about Christianity, because even though while we all are sinners, Christ died for us. And, you know, I feel like the Puritans just didn't have that that mindset, and that was really what led to most of their downfall, just not believing in the right thing, you know, interpreting the Bible not correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for our last few questions here, we have, how would you feel if you were in the shoes of these characters? So we'll begin with Hester. Hope, how would you feel if you were in Hester's shoes?
Well, Hester was in a crazy situation, obviously. Her husband left her. Who knows when he's coming back, if he's coming back, if he's alive or dead. If I was in Hester's situation, I obviously wouldn't go so far to the point of committing idolatry. Can you cut that? I wouldn't commit adultery, and because that's a huge sin in the Bible, and God's word should be more important than an unjust society. And even though she needed to prove to her society that this is the right thing, that women should be treated a certain way, I don't think that she should have had sex with Dimmesdale, because she may have even loved him, and that's great and all, but they weren't even married to begin with, and there's just no excuse for that. But if I did eventually give birth to Pearl, I would try to let her know that she does have a Heavenly Father who loves her, because it's truly so sad to see in this book that such a pure little fragile thing is being imprinted on by such an evil society, because she thinks she's going to go to hell, and she thinks that she has no Heavenly Father, and that truly just shows how cruel their society is. So as Pearl's mother, I would try to make her strong in a hard world like that.
Yeah. Gavin, what about you? What would you do if you were in Hester's situation with all this drama going around?
I don't know. I think she does a pretty good job of handling it all. Definitely raising Pearl is a big thing, making sure that you raise her right and raise her how you want people to be. So keeping that idea of reading the Bible and understanding it, and then not just understanding it, but using it and putting it into action. But also Hester's confidence, I guess, is very important, and I think it would be very important to pass that on to your kids or even friends or relatives.
Yeah, the book describes Hester as being very strong-willed and courageous and honest, and, you know, to see that kind of shine through in the situation that she's thrown into, you know, I don't know if I would be able to show that same courage and will.
Mm-hmm.
But I would definitely do my best to try and raise Pearl to be a strong, God-loving woman. And I would repent for my actions. And even if my society didn't accept me, I would know that God still accepts me. And I would pray for my enemies and my persecutors that they would show that same acceptance and compassion. So we're going to go ahead and talk about Dimmesdale now. So, same concept, but what would you do if you were in Dimmesdale's situation?
Start that over just from the Dimmesdale part, because mine cut out for some reason.
Oh, yeah.
Cut that out.
So now we're going to talk about Dimmesdale. Similar situation, but completely flipped. You know, what would you do if you were in Dimmesdale's situation? You know, it's very, very tough to think about, you know, the kind of things that he was going through, especially being a minister and such.
Yeah, definitely. Even though, especially because ministers were looked up to so much in that culture, and throughout the book, he was even close to being idolized by the people because of how real he was through his preaching and through his messages, and it's really hard to say what I would do in his situation, because we'll never truly know if he did love Hester, but I do know that it is clear that he cared for her and that he knew she was being mistreated. And I think it's I would also try to be kind to everyone, like how he was, because in the book it said he was really kind to Chillingsworth. And I would definitely repent of my sins to God. I don't know if I would come clean, especially in that society, but I would definitely pray for forgiveness, and I would probably apologize to Hester, Pearl, and even Chillingsworth, too.
Interesting. What about you, Gavin?
He was under a lot of stress, obviously, being the minister and having done what he did. So, you know, there's different paths you can take. You can hide it like he did and keep it from everybody, but as you see in the book, it kind of destroys him mentally, makes him go a little insane. And the other path is trying to find help, seek someone to be able to talk to. But, of course, that's a very difficult thing to do because most of the people in that time look up to you or know that you're of higher power. And it would be very easy to, if your minister came up to you and said, hey, I did this, and it was like, whoa. Yeah, especially with sin being as big of a deal as it was back then, if a minister was to sin, that would be crazy and very difficult to keep a secret. So, you know, seeking out somebody is the right way to go. But you would just have to be prepared to face the consequences.
For sure. For me, I mean, I definitely would go to God and, you know, pray as much as possible to figure out, you know, exactly what I'm supposed to do. But I most likely would try and deal with it personally and not really, you know, let it out to the public. I'd try and keep it within, you know, just the few people involved and ask for forgiveness and repent and just really hope for the best and pray. And as far as, you know, being a minister, I feel like it would be my duty to convey my struggles and thoughts to the society, but not really in a direct manner, more indirectly, as in maybe have a special sermon about sin and, you know, talking about how everyone struggles with it and stuff like that, you know, trying to really help others through my experiences with my own, you know, issues. But again, it's a very, very unnatural and difficult situation to be in. So, throughout the Scarlet Letter, we see this strong-willed woman kind of stand up for herself for what seems like the first time in all of, you know, that society's history, and we see it as this precursor to, you know, the coming feminist movement. As, you know, years go by, new technology is made, new ideas are inspired, and, you know, people realize, hey, women are able to do the same things as men now, why don't we let them? And we see the roots of that through Hester as she rises up and she doesn't let her society's standards, you know, get to her. And I think that's really inspiring.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Well, that's going to about do it for the podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for watching. This has been the American Literature Podcast, signing off. See you guys later.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.